Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
We love you, we honor you, we magnify your name. We give you praise, we give you glory. Tonight, Father, we ask that you open our eyes, open our understanding to look into the scriptures and understand spiritual things that makes for our advantage. Thank you, precious Redeemer. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Amen. Be seated. I'm mindful of time. We are in challenging times. And so we need to be strategic in our operations because of the times that we are in. This evening, I want to share some things with us because we are coming to the end of the month of praise, and some people have just been excited. I need to open your eyes to two simple spiritual facts that will help you insist that the atmosphere and the realities we've experienced as a people in this month will be carried with you even all through your life, because it's not about the month of July. It's about a possibility that you can activate and walk in order to live the victorious life. Praise God. That was some remarkable report on the evangelism for the month, the souls won for the month. One more time, can you give Jesus a big hand? Now, what they were calling out there are not just figures. Those are souls. They are people. And so we've put those ones out of Hades. We've put them out of hell. And it may not mean so much that somebody is taken out of hell until you are the person. It may not mean so much to you that one soul escapes hell until you are the person. It's a big deal for a soul to be saved from hell. And we are planning so hard that at the end of the day, we will build people that will be conscious of three things as they walk in life. Number one, they will be conscious of their relationship with God through prayers. Number two, they will be conscious of the agenda of God on the face of the earth, and they will deploy themselves through giving for that agenda to be advanced, and by physically participating in it, winning souls that will be recorded to their own advantage. Our goal is not just to have a church, because that would have been a waste of God's time to have people come to another gathering just to sing and dance. Our goal is to raise a people that God can depend on. And the only way you can find such people is when the culture of prayer becomes their lifestyle. That means they connect to heaven vitally, and they can transmit the burden of God to their generation. And number two, they understand that they are stewards. They are custodians of divine heritages. And so whatever God gives to them, they transmit it to advancing God's kingdom. They are not just living for themselves. They are living for the glory of God. And they are living to improve the society where they live. And then number three, they are willing to deploy themselves physically to advance God's kingdom in the lives of others. And that begins with soul winning, and it ends with soul establishment. And so our hope and our prayer is that when we've done what we are doing for a couple of years, like the early church, Philip can go to Samaria and he can win that city for Jesus. It will no longer be about a lead apostle or a lead minister traveling from place to place preaching the gospel. No. Sometimes we will come to church and half of the congregation traveled. And they didn't go on holidays. One will go to England, another one will go to Zambia, another one will go to Kenya. And then you say, where are they? They say they went to do exploit. Because when you come into a barrack, soldiers are in different quadrants. And so sometimes the whole quadrant can be absent. Sometimes you can come to church, there will be no choir. And you say, where is the choir? They went for missions. Because it will not be organized, disorganized Christianity. Choir will go for mission. We will sing and praise God and go back. When choir returns, they will return with the spoils of war. Because it's not only the apostle that wins souls. The job of soul winning is for everybody. And so if you come to church and you don't find ushers, that day you can be an usher. It means ushers went for mission. We can come to church and we'll say ushers went to pray on the mountain. God gave them a burden for the country. And they are interceding. We will cover up for them. It will be unconventional, but that's God's plan. And this is why for now, we are mobilizing the whole church to pray. And we're also mobilizing the whole church to participate in the business of soul winning. And as you do it, you will not regret. When time is accomplished, you will thank your God that you found somebody that insisted that you do that. Because it will give you an advantage both in time and in the world to come. Praise God. And so from the month of August, we will start very serious trainings. We will do training for soul winning. We will also do training, discipleship training for the souls that are won. So on one side, those who are won, we organize a training program both on ground and online to establish them and to teach them the kingdom. And then those who are already soul winners, we organize some other trainings for them to fortify them. Because different kinds of evangelism require different strategies. Sometimes you enter a city, before you evangelize, you have to do apostolic mapping. Where I just came back from now, when you are doing evangelism, you don't tell them, God will bless you. They are already blessed. So if the evangelism you know is that they are demons, they are demons. Or God, you will not be poor. In that place, even if you slap your son, better beg him quickly. Because if your son forgives you and he mentions it and his teacher hears, the teacher is under oath to report the matter. Because if the teacher doesn't report, by the time they come to deal with you, they will deal with you and the teacher. And they will take your son from you. You see how corrupt that word is. That's not a word you come and say, Kai! They will say, what is he saying? So that kind of evangelism is called power evangelism. Before you go for that kind of evangelism, you pray in tongues for many hours. And you don't go out of your room until God gives you a word. So when you come, sit on that word God gave you. Stay there until it pierces their heart. When it pierces their heart, it will break the stronghold. And then you'll find them weeping and crying. You have won them. There are other kinds of evangelism that you need to go with gifts. Because the people are too hungry to hear what you are saying. Before you talk, the hunger is too loud. So they need to, you say, Jesus is Lord. They say, okay, what are you saying? You need to give food first. When they eat, they will now say, That thing you were saying, I was not interacting with it correctly. Did you say Jesus is the Son of God? So we need to equip people because there are different territories. And different territories require different strategies. So we will train people. And it's a global training on ground and online from the month of August. And then we'll start massive invasions even in that month because so much has already been done. For now, God is sending us to different territories to put our feet on the ground. That's why we are traveling. Because for you to possess the nations, sometimes you need to step. When you step there, then you can do priesthood from there. And so the reason you find me taking the pains and the burdens, touching different territories, is prophetic. If there is something I don't like, it's traveling. I can be in my room for 3 months, I won't go out. I enjoy to be alone in my house. But when I travel, like Paul, necessity is laid upon me. And so sometimes you have to go to some nation and stand there. When you stand there and call upon the name of the Lord, he will give you an inheritance. So you don't need to travel again to those parts after a long time. The reason is because it's not the root that travel, it's the branches. But before the branches travel, the root has to grow into a stem. Are we together? That's why we are doing that. But from September, we will settle down. And into next year, we will settle down even much more. That time, we will stretch ourselves. And God will do wonders in our midst. God will do wonders. You know, when I go out, the way I minister is different from the way I minister here. When I go out, I meet the needs of people and the needs of God. When I come here, I only equip people. So sometimes I can come and talk casually, but I left you with some points for you to practice. Because strong meat belongs to them. Not who are excited, but who by reason of use. So we say something so that you can use them. Some of the people staying with me, I told them I will split them around Abuja now because they need to learn street evangelism and take over. They were looking for houses in the heart of the city so that they will stroll into an eatery, stroll into a ShopRite. I told them ministry is not tie, suit, and English language. It's not even quoting scriptures. Go to Kubwa first. When you are in Kubwa, if you are able to touch 5 people consistently in 1 month, that time you will know that scripture you are quoting is no longer English language. It's now spirit and life. You know, when the stage is set, you can come and stand. And when they say lead prayer for 5 minutes, you talk for 1 minute and you begin to prophesy. By the time you go to Mararaba, you will know whether your prophetic ministry is genuine. Because there's no stage. Everybody is running to survive. If somebody gives you attention, you will now understand. Because our generation is deceived. People are not trained. And because they cannot do the labor of ministry, they go and open a page on Facebook and sit down like this. And they are talking the mysteries of God. The mysteries of the kingdom. When they finish, they stretch their hands like bishops and bless people. Oh God, don't be part of that deceived generation. If you have not gone to win souls before and they insult you, and then the next day Jesus say go back, you will not know what long suffering is. You will still be quoting long suffering from scripture. By the time you go to win souls, when you are tired, you want to win somebody, and Jesus said all the money you have in your pocket give him, and you give him that money, you preach, he refuses to accept Jesus. You trek home. Next time, if you want to win souls, you pray in tongues. Because you will not know the pains of soul winning. You will give him the whole money. You will trek. And he will still reject your message. Next time, when you want to go out, you will pray that the heart of men will open to receive your message. This is why we have fake people. They are not trained. We didn't start with suit. We started on our knees. Ha ha ha, hey. Yeah, in the name of Jesus. Please sit down for a moment. I have 1 hour to do everything I want to do. August will do a month of revival. We will not be stopped. We will not be tamed. We will roar. And nothing will stop us. In August, this place will burn like fire. In the month of August. Because in that month, fresh ordinations will be activated. There are many people, they've lost their calling for more than 10 years. Because the secret God gave them to exercise their mantle, the devil plagued them and they can't wield it anymore. And because they cannot do that, the sword have become blunt. In the month of August, we will sharpen swords. We will sharpen. Praise God. Tonight is the last night of praise, so let me take time to explain a few things to us. And my hope is that you will go home and practice this. See, know your operational modalities in the spirit. There are many things I can do any day, anytime. Because when God gives you a mantle, or he exalts your horn, that horn becomes your security system in the spirit. The reason you find many people calling God in trouble and it looks as if God didn't answer is because God gave them the answer in the form of the horn that he gave them. And so if they don't exercise that horn, when the devil comes, they will keep shouting on God and he will not answer. And it will look as if God is deaf to their prayers. No, he's not. Because God is not interested in interfering in your daily life. When you see the protocol of creation, everything God created, he designed it to be running. When he created the tree, he put the seed in the tree. So there will be no need for him to be intervening for the tree to replicate. So whether God shows up or not, the tree will continually replicate. And so when the tree seeks God, it's not because the tree is in need. When the tree seeks God, it's because the tree desires intimacy. That is the same way he created you and I. He didn't create us so that every day we call upon him and he jumps into our situation. And when he finishes, he jumps out. No. He created us to exercise dominion. So when we come to him, we are not calling upon him to intervene in a situation. We come to him because we desire him. We come to him because we want intimacy. So the heaviest molecule of our prayer will not be God answer. No. Because if you don't have intimacy with God, you will become a user of God. And so everything God created, he created it to be able to run on certain secrets, mysteries, and laws. And so every time those creations turn to God, God knows why they came. They don't come looking for answers because all the answers are already with them. If you study Mark chapter 11, Jesus activated that principle again. He said, when you are confronted with a mountain, he said, don't talk to God. He said, address the mountain. And if you address the mountain without fear or doubt in your heart, he said, the mountain will go. That means every time you come to the Lord because of mountains, God, on account of his mercy, will intervene. But that is not the reason why God wants to play a part in your life. God has already given you authority to address the mountain. Every time you come to God, it's because you desire him. That is how God designed the equation. But men don't understand the secrets that make for the advantage. And so every time you find believers praying, they are praying for interventions. It is a sign that we are not yet mature. Many years ago, I would not remember my father exists unless I have a need. And so if I call my father, I'm looking for pocket money, or I'm looking for school fees, or I'm looking for something to eat. But now when I call my father, even him knows I'm not calling him for anything I need. When I call my father, I want to check up on him and find out how they are doing. I call my father because I want relationship. The reason is because I've grown. When I was a child, 90% of my call was to get something from my father. But my father took time to invest in me to become a man. And now that I'm a man, he knows every time I beckon, it's because I want to talk. And sometimes I travel for hours and go to meet my dad, and we just sit down and talk. And sometimes we are not talking any serious thing. We are just talking. And when we talk for a while, we walk around the house. And he shows me some of the projects he wants to do. I say, okay, don't worry. Tomorrow I will send money. Yes, keep your money. The training you put here is now generating money. And even though he has a little to handle the project, he will happily keep his money back and wait for me to send money. And when I send the money, it's not because he needs it. When I send the money, it gives him joy that his son is responsible. Those things are deeper than attending to our needs. And so when you find a generation always coming to God for intervention, something is wrong. He didn't design it that way. And so tonight, I want to show you the reason we are teaching and actively engaging on the subject of praise and thanksgiving. Because that level of authority that makes you be able to live and advance God's purpose without bothering God to come into the matter is tied to some of these secrets. You know, we heard stories growing up many years ago how that the witches in Benin gathered together and said there will be a global meeting of witches. And when they told Benson Idahosa, you know, when you hear stories, you enjoy them. But you don't know what makes that level of power to be with a man. And when they told Benson Idahosa, he said, well, go and tell them it will not hold. I said so. He didn't say, by the help of God. He said, it will not hold. And then the head of the witches said, he is bluffing. If he likes, he should pray all he knows to pray. They will hold the meeting and do what they want. And Benson Idahosa said, I will not pray. It's not everything you pray about. I don't need to pray to get a cab home. I have money in my pocket. He said, I will not pray. But go and tell them. I think the witch said, even if God comes down, the meeting we hold. He said, what? He said, God doesn't need to come down. He said, I am here. And as if that was not enough, he organized a national challenge with the head of the witches. And when they came for the meeting and they began to speak, the witch said, the meeting we hold. And Benson Idahosa looked at him and said, you are not even a witch. He said, if you say you are a witch now, I will kill you. And on national television, the man who was bluffing said, sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Nobody prayed to Jesus. Nobody prayed to the Father. Nobody called on the name of the Lord. Somebody that knew authority stood and said, God doesn't need to come. I am here. And that was what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1. He said, be a follower of me, even as I am the follower of Christ. That means in case you don't see Jesus, when you see me, you have seen him. That's what God wants us to do. But all of these possibilities operate in an economy that we call the economy of the glory. When the glory is present, the glory does not just come to address need. The glory comes to make men become like God. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, when God was speaking, he said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, let them have dominion. He didn't say, let us help them have dominion. So long as they are able to carry our glory, dominion will become a byproduct. But unfortunately, the man sinned and fell from glory. And so when Paul came to diagnose the crisis of the man, he didn't say the man was weak. He said in Romans chapter 3 verse 23, he said, for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. That means the reason the man is sick is because he has what? Fallen short of the glory of God. The reason the man is weak is because he has what? Fallen short of the glory of God. The reason the man is defeated is because he has what? Fallen short of the glory of God. And so when the glory of God is restored, that man will come back to the place of dominion and he will begin to function on earth like a god. Because the truth is, what God wants to create is to create other gods. The idea was not to create a man who is mundane. He called him a man because he is a God living on earth. That's the idea. Because the man was a carrier of the fullness of divinity. And so he was an expression of divinity. And so when he lost God, he lost everything. He began to struggle like an animal because the life of the flesh began to rule him. But before he fell, he was not designed to walk by the life of the flesh. He was designed to walk by the God life. That means when the man shows up, God has come. Anything you are looking for, the moment that man comes, that man provides it. And when you look at the man, you will know that this man doing this thing is doing it by something else that is hidden. And so when you meet the man now leads you to the God that is hidden on his inside. This is why he said this is the mystery of this age. In Colossians 1:26, he said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So what God did was he hid himself into the man and allowed the man to manifest him. And so when you touch the man, you touch the God that is on his inside. But when the man loses the ability to host and manifest God, every time he has a problem, he goes back to call on God to come and handle the matter, and God will go back. But what God wanted to do is to be trapped in the man, so that when the man handles the problem, God handles the problem. When the man deals with the matter, God deals with the matter. Unfortunately, he didn't understand what God was creating. He didn't know that God wanted to talk, but he wanted to talk through the man. He didn't know that God wanted to work wonders, but he wanted to work wonders through the man. So the man still thinks that God wants to come out and manifest himself and go back. He knows how to manifest himself, and he did that for aeons before the angels. If you study heaven in Revelation 4 and 5, the Bible says God appears on the throne by himself. God doesn't manifest in heaven through any agency. God manifests in heaven by himself. And for aeons, no angel has been able to look upon him. The moment he appears, they fall on their faces. So it was impossible for God to have relationship with them. And so this time around, he is not intending to manifest by himself. What he wants to do is to manifest through you. So you become the theater that gives expression to God. But when God is not handled on the inside of a man, the man does not only lose the ability to reflect God. Every day he's calling on God to come and answer prayers, and he's excited. Listen, I know there are verses in scripture where people call upon the Lord, where God encourages people to call upon him, but you need to understand the difference between scripture and revelation. You can pick a scripture, quote it, you will be correct in a dispensation. But when God moves, that your scripture that is a correct scripture may not be conformed to revelation. I give you an instance, for example, when you are dealing with the subject of healing. If you study the book of Exodus 25:23, the Bible said, you shall remember the Lord your God. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy waters, and he shall remove sickness from the midst of thee. That is a scripture, and that is correct. Until today, people are serving God for him to remove sickness from their body. And when they do it, because their faith is released, God heals them. But God is no longer there. Because you don't need to serve God to be healed. That was what he told them when they left Egypt. When they moved further, the Bible came and the Bible began to speak to us from Isaiah 53. And he said, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes, we were healed. So we are no longer debtors to sickness. And so a man who has this revelation is superior to the man who has the first. Because why the man who has the first revelation is trying to scrub the floor in order to have fruit of the womb. And it's correct. If that's what helps your faith, that's good. But that's a lower revelation. Another man doesn't need to scrub the floor. Another man is just praising God because he has come to the realization that by his stripes, he was healed. And so when sickness trying to attack him, he will look back to the cross and say, Satan, you have no place here. So when that man is scrubbing the floor, it's an act of worship. He's not bargaining with God. Why one is scrubbing the floor and is bargaining with God? Lord, give me a fruit of the womb. Give me a son. Another one is scrubbing the floor and dancing and singing and praising God. Both of them are doing the same thing, but from a different level. One is doing it to receive Another one is doing it because she has already received. So one is trying to get the solution. Another one has gone past the solution. So you need to understand the difference between scripture and revelation. Meanwhile, there is yet another who is not just looking at the cross anymore. There is another man who is functioning at another level. He said, if that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in your mortal body, he said, he will quicken your body. He will quicken. So that man is not even trusting God for healing. He doesn't know whether sickness exists. He doesn't know. When you are talking about sickness, he can ask you, what does that mean? And you look at him and say, are you crazy? He's in another world entirely. Where he's functioning by revelation is a realm where sickness cannot exist. Those are the kinds of dimensions that men like John G. Lake handled. And the plague that others are trusting God not to contact, when the plague touch him, the plague die. The virus touch him, the virus die. It's not something to hear and just start shouting and say, if I touch the virus, it will die. It depends on the world where you are walking in. Because when you enter revelation, revelation becomes a civilization. A man who said, that same spirit that is in me quickens my mortal body, doesn't pray for healing. That man walks in divine health. If you ask him about sickness, he will laugh at you. It's a different world entirely. So there is a difference between quoting a scripture and walking in revelation. Revelation is a spectrum. For those of you who study science, you know that this white light you see is not white. This white light you see is a combination of seven colors. When the light passes through a spectrum, it will divide into seven. You will be shocked to see red inside this white light. You will be shocked to see green inside this white light. When you are quoting isolated scripture, it's like picking the individual lights in the spectrum. But a man who has revelation has embodied the whole light. And so if he finds you operating at a lower revelation, he knows that's what helps your faith. He will allow you. But when you want to grow, you will move from there. Because a time will come when, if you are doing kingdom business, you can't afford to waste time praying to be healed. Because there are territories you will enter that your first step will be with sickness and death. There are places God will send you to and it will be plagued. You need to carry something that makes you live above the realm of sickness to be able to do kingdom there. If you have not come to that level of revelation, then your walk with God will be limited. And so what God designed when he made us was for us to function in the realm of the glory. And in the realm of the glory, you don't call on God to come and answer the question. In the realm of the glory, you become the reflector of God. Anything you touch, God touch. Anything you say, God says. At that level, you operate in the rulership dimension. And so when the devil came, he was smart. He didn't take food from the man. He knows if he takes food from the man and the glory is there, the man may not even need to eat. Because Moses was in the glory and for 40 days he didn't eat and he didn't notice. And so if the devil came to take fruit or food from the man may not have noticed, because in the glory you may not even be hungry. So the devil may keep the food for a lifetime and the man may not even notice. Why? Because in the glory you live beyond time. When the devil keeps food for 100 years, the man may think it's 1 second. And maybe he eats after 6 hours. That means the devil will keep that food for 6,000 years before the man notices. So the devil is smart. When the devil came, he didn't take anything that was material from the man. He went for the one thing that makes the man operate like a god. He went for the glory. And the moment the man lost the glory, he lost everything. If you like, give him food, he will need food again. If you like, give him money, he will need money again. Because this time around, it was not just about what he handled. It was a vacuum in his soul. A hole has been created in his soul that makes him desire things other than God. And so when God wanted to solve the problem of the man, even God too knew that what the man needed was not a healing. What the man needed was not money. What the man needed was not fame. God knew that what the man needed was what he lost in the first place. And so when God showed up, he began to create a system that will restore the man back to the glory. But for him to arrive at that point, he needed to deal with some obstacles. And so when Jesus manifested, the first thing Jesus did was to address the things that the man was suffering from. And so in Luke chapter 4, from verse 18 and 19, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, that was the realm Jesus was operating in. If you are operating at that realm, you are superior to the man who possesses things. And he said, because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he said, he has empowered me to preach the gospel to the poor. You see, the first people Jesus was dealing with, the first question he was answering the question of poverty. And poverty in this sense was not lack. Poverty in this sense was a depravity of the glory of God. Jesus had the fullness of God, so he doesn't know what poverty means. But he came to a world that had poverty. And so the first thing he did was to preach the gospel to them, to let them know that there is something coming that is superior to healing. Because everybody he healed died. There is something coming that is superior to money. It's the economy of the glory. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I want to bring you to where you too, the Spirit of the Lord will be upon you. But before you get there, let's deal with the crisis you have first. And he said, the brokenhearted were healed. Those who were deaf, their ears were unstopped. Those who were blind, their eyes were open. Those who were in prison, he delivered them from captivity. Because you have to first of all deal with the crisis the man is going through. That's why I told you, you want to preach the gospel to somebody who is hungry. He will ask you first, sorry, do you have 20 naira there? Let me eat bread. I know this, your message is a strong message, but I'm hungry. Let me eat first. In fact, James was teaching, he said, pure religion is one that visits the widow, helps the orphan. That's the only time you find religion in Christianity, in the place of charity. So when Jesus came, he needed to do charity first. And so Acts chapter 10 verse 38, the Bible said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. But what God wanted to do was not healing. If it was healing, there wouldn't have been need for Jesus to come, because before Jesus came, men were being healed. What Jesus came to do was not to bless men to become wealthy. Before Jesus came, there were mighty prophets that could change the fortune of people. In fact, Elisha stood and said, by this time tomorrow, by this time, he changed the economy just by talking. And the prime minister doubted him and laughed. And he said, well, because you laughed, you will see it, you will not enjoy it. And the moment things changed, the man was trampled upon. So if it was economic situation that was the issue, there wouldn't have been need for Jesus to come. Because every other challenge of man, apart from the glory, was handled before Jesus came. The moment Jesus came, the first thing he did was to tell the man how he operates. He said, the way I operate is that I walk under the cloud of the glory. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Even in Acts 10:38, he said, for God was with him. That means whatever Jesus does for you, if you have not come to that point where for God was with him becomes your experience, you have not received anything from God. But in order for man to understand this, he needed to show man what happens when God is with you. He needed to show man what happens when somebody is walking under the glory. And so they told Jesus, Lazarus was sick and unto death. And Jesus said, okay, I've heard. And he continued doing what he was doing. Few days later, they came and said, don't worry, he's dead now. The moment they said Lazarus is dead, that was when Jesus got ready to go. He wasn't just trying to raise the dead. He was showing man what it looks like to walk in the glory. Because he was going to leave the earth soon. And when he leaves the earth, he's going to bring men under the glory. Because when you come under the glory, you are not coming to receive what Jesus was giving. You are actually coming to become like the Jesus that gave. But for you to understand how the glory economy works, Jesus needed to show you. And so when somebody dies, Jesus comes there and says he's asleep. That means in the glory realm, you can't die, because death does not exist there. And in the glory realm, the second thing you need to understand is that whatever you call a situation, that's what it is. Remember, when Adam was in Eden, the Bible said whatever name he called the animals, that was the name thereof. In the glory, anything you call anything becomes that thing. And so you can be going through crisis and you said, no, this is journey to greatness. Wait for a while. You will discover that that thing that was called crisis will become the reason for your lifting. You can be going through pains and people look at you and say, no, God is working on me because there is a power coming on my life. And after a while, you will go out and people will see power that they cannot explain, because in the glory, two things happen. Death does not exist. And whatever you call a situation, that's what it is. And so when Lazarus died, Jesus said, let's go and wake him up. And Thomas said,
In the realm of men, if somebody dies, he's gone. We cry out our heart. When we are done crying, we bury him. And Jesus said, no, he's not dead, he's asleep. In the realm of glory, men don't die. And so when Jesus walked there, they say, oh, if he were here, he would not have died. Because in the realm of mortals, there is such a thing as too late. But in the realm of the glory, time does not exist. So there is no too early and there is no too late. The reason is because whatever you call it, that's what it is. And so any time you come is the right time. And so Jesus showed up and said, have I not told you before? If thou wouldest believe. He didn't say thou shouldest see the resurrection. He didn't say thou shouldest see healing. He said, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Because in the glory, anything is possible. Healing exists there. Resurrection exists there. And because they wouldn't listen, he pushed them aside. And he went to the front of the tomb and he said, Lazarus, comfort. And the Bible said, he that was dead came back to life. Some of you who are going through pains now, you are calling on God, Father, please look at my trouble. And he's looking at you. No, your trouble is not the problem. You have not found the glory. If you find the glory, that your trouble will become the reason for your manifestation. Because you will learn how to keep commandments. Because that thing you call problem, you were designed to command it. That's why I said, I've seen an abomination upon the face of the earth. He said, princes are walking, white slaves are riding on horses. Because the things that we should command are the things we are calling on God for. The things that we should change are the things that are frustrating us. When you walk in the glory, every crisis becomes a potential testimony. When you walk in the glory, every crisis becomes an opportunity to reveal God. Because the easiest way to reveal God is to talk about him. There are better ways of revealing God. When Jesus wanted to reveal God in Canaan, he waited. The Bible said the wine was out. That time, I cannot reveal God in a way that a fake person cannot reveal God. And they say, fill the jars and fill them to the brim. And when they filled the jars, he didn't pray. Because in the glory, whatever you call it, that's what it is. He said, fetch from the jar, take it to the governor of the field. You don't try. Why don't you start with your disciples? You want to embarrass yourself. You are testing something and you are starting with the governor of the field. Take it there. The one who is talking walks in the glory. And when they took it to the governor of the feast and he's drunk, he said, what is wrong with you? Men usually take the best wine first, but you have kept the best wine until we are tired of drinking. Why did you do this? Because one of the wines was brewed on a tree. The other one was brewed in the glory realm. The wine from the glory realm, when you drink it, it doesn't stop in the ceremony. You carry it from the ceremony and the wine begins to change you. You may drink that wine, and after a while, you go home and you find yourself. You now say, what are you doing? You know, he said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled. Because the wine of the flesh is alcohol, but the wine of the glory is the Holy Ghost. And then suddenly you discover your hand is becoming hot. What means this? And as you are speaking in tongues, somebody said, I have pain on my back. I don't know what happened. You say, sorry, it's where? And then as you go, you say, wait, as you touch me, the pain is gone. What happened? The wine is still at work. Because this wine flows the Holy Ghost out. That's why I said, they that believe, out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living waters. Now, what Jesus was doing was that he was teaching us who a man is. The life of Jesus is a revelation of who a man is, not who a God is. Because everything about creation reveals God. The life of Jesus is actually a revelation of who a man is. That's why when he finished in John 14, 12, he said, greater works than this shall ye do. Greater works than this. That means what I came to do is to teach you how to live. And go and check the whole life of Jesus. There was never a time when Jesus stood and said, Father, please intervene. Father, please have mercy. No! He knew how to activate the glory. When it comes and the situation is not working, he said, I thank you, oh Father, because you hear me. And then you are hoping to say, Father, please raise the dead. And when he said, I thank you because you hear me, instead of now telling the Father, please raise the dead, he will now turn to the dead and say, come here. That means what he's saying is what the Father is saying, is the reality of the glory. But when men don't know the glory, they cannot live the fullness of life. And so when Jesus was casting out devils, when Jesus was healing the sick, all he was doing was teaching us. It was a dress rehearsal to teach us how we will live when he's gone. And when he finished, he didn't stop there. He didn't just come to heal the sick. If he did that, it would have been good enough. But after he finished healing the sick, after he finished casting out devils, after he finished miraculously prospering people, the next thing, the Bible said, he decided to go to the cross. Peter came and rebuked him. I said, you can't do this. He looked at Peter and laughed. He said, get behind me, Satan. Who told you I can't do this? There is something that is more spectacular than healing the sick. And so what he did was that he needed to come out of his body and enter Hades. And when he entered Hades, what he went to do was to take all the power that belonged to the devil. And the Bible said in Colossians 2:14, having spoiled principalities and powers. You know why he did that? Because if he heals the sick alone and goes, when he allows you to go and heal the sick, the devil will come and tell you, do you think you are Jesus Christ? How dare you come here? But he wanted to teach us something. That this thing I'm doing, I'm not the only person doing it. So after he manifested it, he went to Hades. And the Bible said, having spoiled principalities and powers, he said he made a public show of them. He would have won them and gone back to heaven. But he did a public display so that you will know that the only entity on earth now that has the authority of God is man. The devil no longer carries the authority of God. Only the man has the authority of God, because authority is a component of the glory. Remember, two things were lost in Eden. Number one, he said, let us make man in our image. That's the glory. And number two, he said, let them have dominion. So now that he's restoring the glory, he also needs to give you back the dominion. And so when he resurrected, he said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. You go in that power. Because he wanted to teach you something. And so when Jesus healed devils, cast out devils, healed the sick, he didn't stop there. He went to Hades, dealt with all the devils, and collected the power. So at the resurrection, what Jesus did was that everything he possessed, he handed it over to us. And so now, if you are defeated, it's your fault. If you are defeated, it's either a product of your ignorance or it's a product of your cooperation with the devil. Because the authority of the Christ has been handed over to you, so that you will do what he would have done when he's present. And you see, now that he has done this, he is now going to heaven to watch you display his power. And so when we go out and cast out demons, our first audience is not man. Our first audience is Jesus. Elijah knew it in the Old Testament. He said, before God, whom I stand. When we go out and we cast out devils, our second audience are not men. They are spirit of just men made perfect. Because what Paul did by the Christ, he's expecting that you too will do. Because when Paul was doing it, he also knew somebody did it before him. That's why he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, he said, according as it is written, he said, they believe and have spoken. We, having the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore we speak. So the greatest miracle is not when one man stands and is raising cripples. The greatest miracle is when the church matures and they begin to express different dimensions of God. And so when we come together like this, it's not primarily to receive healing. The reason we organize healing service is because we know that some people need intervention. The reason we organize miracle services is because we know people require intervention. But when the church mature, it's the world that needs healing service, not the church. It's the world that needs miracle service, not the church. Because what we have now is the glory. So you will have what you want. Because the measure you desire is the measure you will carry. It is no longer a possibility that is with God. It's now a possibility that is with you. So the reason we teach primarily is to teach you what to do in order to stir the glory. When I'm teaching you on prayer, the goal is not to end the sermon and make a decree so that you'll be blessed. No. When I'm teaching you on prayer, in addition to the blessings you will receive when I pray, when I'm done teaching you, I expect you to take that knowledge and go and begin to cultivate the glory. And so that when you pray for a while, your measure will increase. How many of you enjoyed Reverend Hughes last week? Come on! He was teaching you the markers of the full apostolic anointing. Because the whole idea is for measures to increase. Measures. Because hear this, Some of the things you pray for 3 days to get an answer, somebody has prayed for it for 1 minute. Your 3 days prayer is a declaration on the lips of another man. Whereas there are those who don't declare. The moment they think it, it happens. What has happened is measures. Because the 3 days prayer is to push out glory. Because you know, when the river flows, everything will be answered. You know what the Bible said in Ecclesiastes 11:3? It said, when the heavens are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. So the calamity you are going through, when you begin to mature, instead of just running to somebody, pray for me. When the calamity comes, you go and lock the door. Because you know what that person carries, you too carry it. The only difference is that he has it in higher measures. And so what you want to do is that, I don't just want the problem to be solved. I want my measure to increase so that the problem will not come again. And so instead of running to an apostle, running to a prophet, you enter your room and you shut the door. You say, this crisis is here because my measure is limited. And you bend on your knees like Elijah. Ka, 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 ra, ka, ka. What you are doing, you are staring. A point will come. As you pray for a while, you will discover 3 things will happen. Number one, the atmosphere will change. Because the Bible said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. Because when you begin to engage the glory on your inside, you will discover that the glory will become a doorway. The door is to bring you to the secret place. The secret place is not behind closed door. The secret place is the covering of the Shekinah. And what will take you there is prayer. And so many times when you have a crisis, you know the crisis is overwhelming you because the Shekinah has not come. When the Shekinah rested on Israel, the Bible said they walked through the wilderness for 40 days. He said there was none feeble among their tribe. He said their clothes and their sandals grew with them. They had no need of buying clothes because the glory caused everything to respond accordingly. So you are going through that problem because the measure is limited. And so instead of just running for an answer, you get something more than the answer. But you will never think of it except as you know that the power to do the same thing that the apostle is doing is also resident on your inside. So when you come to listen to the apostle, you are not waiting for the apostle to make a decree over you only. You are trying to find out, what does this man know that has caused his measure to increase? And so thank God for the answer I'm receiving today, but I will not continue receiving answers. 7 years ago, if I have headache, I'm looking for somebody with healing anointing. If I have problem with money, I'm looking for somebody that has faith for prosperity. But now, all I do is to labor in the glory. As I'm laboring in the glory, different tributaries are opening. While I honor those who carry those graces, I stir the waters of my spirit. Because I don't want to go to Lagos all the time when I need faith. I don't want to go to Lagos all the time when I need healing. There's a place where the glory becomes a river. And what it does is to swallow infirmities. And so when I lock my door behind closed doors, it's because I heard that the same apostle today that is healing people in stadia, what he did was to lock himself. So me too, I lock myself. When I hear that there is a crisis and somebody spoke and things changed, I'm not just interested in the fact that he spoke. I want to find out, what did he do? What did he do? What did he do? I heard that Andrew Womack's son died and they put him in the morgue for 45 minutes. In the mortuary, 45 minutes. They had tidied him up. And when they told Andrew Womack, your son is dead, immediately he said he wanted to weep. And the Lord told him, if you cry, he's gone. Because if you cry, it means you have moved into the flesh. Stay in the spirit. And instead of crying, the man began to meditate on scripture. And when he meditated on scriptures for 40 minutes, he said, where is he? And he went there and said, get up. And his son came back to life after 45 minutes in the mortuary. That's what moves me. I am happy when Andrew Womack pray for me, but much more than the prayer, I want to find out, what do you do? And so when I hear that where men cry, he doesn't cry, he meditates. The next thing, if there's a challenge, I stop myself from crying. Me too, I begin to meditate. Because if one can do it, all can do it. He sent his word to Jacob. He lightened upon Israel. This is the hallmark of the teaching ministry. To show you the secret that brings you there. Because if you don't know the secret, you'll be a babe forever. You will always need a man. And the point will come, men will become your God. Because when one man carries the glory, he begins to do what God can do. And if you too don't carry the glory, for all of us to live as gods, serving the living God, you will discover that you will be a man in the league of gods. And so you will have no choice but to serve all your life. Are you following? As I am now, if I want to stir fire here, I don't need the keyboard. I have seen where fire dwells in the spirit. I have seen it. And in the place of prayer, I've been carried to show me my glory garment. And when they took me there, people don't come in the flesh. People come in their spiritual reality. And when I saw myself, I was burning with flames. And so I can go to a place, the atmosphere can be cold, I don't care. I come with my own atmosphere. I can change it anytime because I have seen what I look like in the spirit. It's a technology of the glory. There are many people that what they carry in the spirit are oils. So they are like bombs in Gilead. They can tell you the situation is without hope. Wait until they show up. Sometimes they don't even need to come. They will send their handkerchief. What they told you, 7 prophets have prayed. 5 apostles have prayed. When a man who flows oil comes, Benihim said he took Pastor Chris somewhere when they were in California. And there's this family, this lady was paraplegic for many years. He goes to serve her communion. They are beautiful things. And you know how anointed Benihim is. He said, offer her communion, prayed for her every day. And so when Pastor Chris visited him, they were going to see Billy Graham. And he said, okay, let them, they should just pass by because he needed to pray for the woman, so that they would just see her quickly before they go to Billy Graham. And when they came, Pastor Chris said, she can walk now. Benihim now lowered his voice and said, we've been praying for a long time. Pastor Chris said, no, she can walk now. You want to walk now? The lady couldn't even nod. And when he showed up, he opened another vista. You know, all of us have different corridors. Benihim flows by the anointing. But in addition to the anointing, Pastor Chris has faith. And Pastor Chris has discernment of spirits. So in addition to the anointing, he can tell if what is happening to you is natural or if a demon is involved. And the moment he looked at the woman, and he saw the demon that was holding her neck. Get out there! And instantly, the demon left. The woman stood up. Benihim knelt down and began to cry. Not because he's not anointed, but God designs the glory so that we can honor ourselves. God designs the glory so that we can value ourselves. So I can come and pray, people are imparted. Somebody else prays, people are healed. Somebody else prays, people prosper. So you now discover that the body of Christ is indeed the body of Christ, because the church is not a building. Because some of you can be the hand of God, another person can be the leg of God, another person can be the mind of Christ, because we have become an organism in the spirit. When we enter the glory, we become different dimensions of the Christ. And so when a man has not yet found his dimension in the spirit, he is a burden to the church. And this is why we raise men to come to capacity, because at the end of the day, all of us must come to our reality. Those of you who are the eyes of the church, if you don't come to your reality, the church will be blind for many years. Because nobody can look and say, this is the perspective of God. Restore. The reason you go to certain nations and there is captivity, there is darkness, there is corruption, is because that church may have the arm of God. So there is power, but they don't have the eyes of God. And so every day, cripples are walking, dead men are rising. But they need seers. They need those who know the way of the spirit. And because they don't know it, they will be moving in power, but they will be confused. Until the eyes begin to rise. This is why the church of the last day is not a church of one man. No, I'm too limited to lead the body of Christ. We need an army to rise. So that sometimes when we are seeking the counsel of God, like 1 Chronicles 20:20, while we are yet fasting, the Spirit of God can fall upon someone. And he said, in this battle, you don't need to carry spears and arrows. In this battle, carry those who are the singers. Let them go first. And all they need to say is that the Lord reigns. And his glory endureth forever. And as they are singing it, in the spirit, angels will begin to fight. Because if we fight in this battle, we will lose. Because the seers have shown up. If the church does not come to maturity, we will be defeated. Because you can pray and be defeated. Because when we pray, what we want to do is to come into our elements. Those who are who carry the sword, when prayer becomes intense, then they begin to judge. You'll find God begin to put walls in their mouth and they begin to cut off the tongue of the Leviathan. Meanwhile, after they finish judging, those who see will need to come and say, this is what the Lord wants us to do, and give us strategy. When they finish, those who carry the hand of wealth, the oil of wealth, they will show up and sponsor what God wants to sponsor. Then you discover that the church becomes invincible. This is when the glory of righteousness will be clothed. But there is no emphasis on growth. Jesus has come and done everything. He has made you become like him, but you can't draw the glory. One of the ways to draw the glory is by prayer. Because when you pray, you come under the shadow. When you grow under the shadow, a point will come when you will move from under the shadow. You will come into the different places in Christ. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So there are those who don't wait for the shadow. They go to meet the shadow. As they pray for a while, they go to heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Did you not read the life of John? He said, I, John, your brother in tribulation, I was among the captives. No, not captive. He said, I was in the isle called Patmos. In Revelation 1 verse 10. And he said, I heard a sound as of a trumpet. And as I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. So the cloud was coming to him. In verse 4, he said, I heard the same voice that spoke to me. And a door opened in heaven. And he said, come up hither. So there is a realm. As you are doing business with the glory, the cloud comes upon you. When the cloud comes, suddenly inspiration comes. You hear, buy this land, buy that land. And then you buy those lands when everybody's running and the land begins to appreciate. As you are praying, the cloud comes, your hand begins to burn. And after a while, you discover you begin to heal the sick. Then the time comes, you move from under the cloud, you enter the heavenly places. At that time, you don't only receive those inspirations, you can see everything and pick the one you want to do. I can come for a miracle service now because I function under the cloud. And God can tell me, teach today, I will heal the sick. I can come tomorrow, God tells me, dance, I will heal the sick. But there is a realm you get to. You are not waiting for the voice anymore. You live where the voice lives. Did you read about Daniel? He said when he showed up, they didn't tell him anything was wrong. But when he entered the palace and he looked, he said, oh, God exalted you. And instead of honoring God, you decided to worship the God of iron. He said, therefore, this hand is come. Mene, mene. They couldn't even read it. How did he know the language? That means where the hand came from, he goes there. He knows the language of that nativity. He doesn't only live among men anymore. Once upon a time, he said there is a God that revealed a secret. So he needed to go and pray for the secret to be revealed to Daniel in a night vision. But a time came, he sits where the secrets are uttered. And so he doesn't need to go and fast and pray and sleep for the secret to come. When he shows up, he begins to interpret it. Mene, mene, take care, oversee. He said, you have been weighed in the balances of the spirit. And he said, tonight, the armies of the Medes and the Persians, they will overrun your kingdom. And come rain, come shine, it must happen. Because the man who is speaking, he walks where the glory dwells. Oh, there's a place where the glory is a pillar. And so those who come there, they worship him and they know him as they are known. Because for them, God is no longer a message. God is a person that they mingle with. And they have intercourse with him night and day. I heard a story that turned me on. Once upon a time, a man had an encounter with Jesus and Jesus came to him. And when Jesus spoke to him, he didn't understand what Jesus said. And Jesus told him, go to Bihamon. He will explain to you. What do you mean? How can you meet Jesus and he's sending you to another man? The same way Paul met Jesus and he sent him to Ananias. He said, go into the city. You'll be told what to do. Because what is happening to you now is a reality under the cloud. But there are those who come to heaven. There are those who are part of the council of heaven. Because before the world passes away, the elders of this generation will be numbered. Strength of their legislation for this land can't fall. That's why there is spirit that had partnered with men to secure the borders. Darkness can come, but under that darkness, the Bible says an army will rise. So when the devil thinks he has gotten it all, that's where the warriors are born, under the cloud of darkness, to show the devil that he is not as wise as the Ancient of Days. But for this operation to happen, men of the glory must rise. And so while they are doing military strategy, there is a place in priesthood where nations are born. And those who know those places, those ancient pathways, they will come back there and tell God, what about what you told me 15 years ago? I was part of this council 15 years ago, and you told me Nigeria will not fall. What are the covenants? Where are the prophecies? Where are the oracles? Are you not the God that changed not? Are you about to change your mind? And when God remembers those utterances, he said it becomes a memorial. He said, they that feared the Lord, they sat and spake one to another, and a book of remembrance was opened to them that fear the name of the Lord. There is a place where nations are born. Is there as soon as Zion today? Nations are not born in parliament. Nations are born in the heavens, the altar where the new Jerusalem dwell. And there are men who don't only stay under the cloud, they have walked in the glory until the glory have become a pathway. And so when God doesn't come, they go to God. They go there and they say, what about the human race? We know you have many races. There is the angelic race, but what about man? Did you not read about John? When John went to heaven, he was negotiating for man. And one of the angels came to him and said, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, he has prevailed. Weep no more. The man went to heaven. He wasn't celebrating the street of gold. He came as an ambassador of earth. And so even though heaven was beautiful and there were streets of gold, he came with a body. How about the human race? What becomes of man if you turn your back? What will be the destiny of man? And one of the elders in the court was sent to speak to him. He said, weep not. Weep not. Weep not. I know ordinary people come to heaven to enjoy, but you didn't come to enjoy. You came as a sinner to him. You came as an elder from earth. The bodies of earth are more important. That's the church that God is looking for. A church of stature. That when we gather, we are like the bride. Our garments are pure because they have been poured in the blood. I just came back from the United Kingdom, and I went to the house of John Gilley. I went to the house of John Knox, and when I saw his date of death, it was 1573. But the moment he entered there, do you know how long that is? He died in 1573, but that place was still a portal. The moment we stepped there, we knew this was not ordinary. As I sat on his prayer chair, immediately my body sweat came upon me. Fire came upon me. And when I stood up, I said, no. The legacy, men live for earth and not churches. Buildings are monuments. The legacies that people leave, they are the glories that they trapped. For aeons, you cannot erase it because they were not written by the hand of man. The architects that fashion the glory are men of the present, creatures of eternity, and the things they do, you can't modify it. Today, they are selling churches in those nations and turning them to houses and monuments, but you can't touch a portal. And so the houses of men like John Knox, you can't even modify it, because it's not a beauty, it's a portal. It's a portal. Glory is trapped there. And even if it's 400 years, the witness and the testimony of those men remain as a law among men. And so the things he cut with God, no parliament can alter it. Even if the sons of the bondwoman sit on the throne, those utterances will remain, because they were not uttered on earth, they were uttered in heaven. Oh, was a waste of life to pursue earthly things. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness. He said, all these things shall be added. I will not waste my life pursuing the addition. There is a place where men stand and their feet become like immortal creatures. And so long as the earth subsists, their utterances will remain as a covering and as a law. It will remain as a testimony for mortals, so that when you walk the face of the earth, even when their names are mentioned, you will know that men walked with God. And those fellowships will become a heritage for a generation. And even in times when we can't see God anymore, we will latch onto their prophecies, and their prophecies will become pathways of deliverance. The Bible said between Malachi and John, it said there was darkness according to church history, but they held on to the writings of Isaiah. We may not have heard God anymore, but there are signs in Zion. The men that walked with God, their footprint still remain in heaven as gateways. And when we can't find God, we will see the things they said. We will look upon their walk with God, and it will become verdicts of deliverance. How do you think you can live your own life casually? No. If we only breathe and eat, then we are not different from animals. But there is something beyond the stars. It's the walk of glory. So that when you finish your sojourn on the earth, you can say, as it is, so are we in this world. Not when we go there, as it is, so are we in this world. Because you have gone to where fellowship exists beyond time. There is a glory locked on your inside. Paul called it the treasure. He said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency shall be of God and not of man. Peter said, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, God's own special people, called forth to showcase the excellencies of God. Those are the many tributaries of glory. When men touch him, they shall find something that is immortal. They shall find something that money cannot buy. That's when even the princes can speak concerning you. They will say, Jesus we know. But now we don't only know Jesus. He said, Paul also, we know. Because he's no longer of the flesh. He has come from another tribe. A tribe in Zion. The business of the glory is the reason we gather. And the second thing that activates the glory, they are the sounds of worship. The reason we called it a month of worship and praise is not because we want to be excited. It's because we want to trouble a river that is on our inside. We want to stir a fountain that is on our inside. There is a river here. If all you have are the things that are imparted you, it means you have not come into your reality. There is a stream that should flow from your bowels. The Bible said on the last day of the feast, he said, Jesus stood and cried. He said, they that believe, out of their bellies shall flow rivers. Not a river, many rivers. Some of you, the river that will flow from you will be the fire that will purge the nations. Even kings will hear you and they will tear their garments and weep in repentance. The Bible said when Jonah entered Nineveh and he cried, not only men repented, he said even animals fasted in Nineveh. Because when that man cries, his voice is a water. It will bathe you and it will transform you. It will alter your molecular structure, and a nation can repent because somebody cried. His voice has become an echo from eternity. When he alters his oracle over a city, he washes that city of iniquity. There are dimensions we carry that cannot be quantified, but we have allowed ourselves to be trapped in the flesh. That's why Paul said, no, we know man after the flesh. No matter how decorated flesh is still flesh. What defines you are the fragrances of glory that flows from your inside. And I will not stop until something comes out of me. I will not stop until something comes out of me. My voice will become a lake of fire. It will purge men on earth and judge them as though they are in Hades. When they hear, they will be changed. Because it's a river that that God plants on your inside. Some of you, your voice will become a balm in Gilead. When you speak, broken hearts shall be mended. Some of you, your voices will become healing to nations. And this is why God kept you here. Else, as you gave your heart to Christ, you would have gone to heaven. Why then are you on earth if the earth cannot taste of the waters that come from your spirit? Did you not know why the Bible said God seeketh worshippers? The reason God is seeking worshippers is because the only water God drinks is the one that flows from the heart of man. It's an ancient river. He planted it there and is waiting for that river to overflow the banks so that he can quench his thirst. That's why when God doesn't find men, he seeks them. In Deuteronomy 32 verse 9, he said the Lord's heritage is his people. The only thing that quenches the taste of God is the heart of man. And so that river is what quenches God's taste. When your heart opens up in worship, you begin to overflow Zion. And God too can drink. He can drink of a water that knows no corruption, because that heart is one with him. That's the water he seeks. So a time comes when you seek God until God begins to seek you. And God will chase after you. He will chase after you like a bride without spot and wrinkle. Why do you think Moses could come to God and say, if you will not forgive them, blot my name out of the book of life? There are men God can no longer let go because their heart quenches his taste. And Jesus said, the Father is seeking worshippers. He's seeking them because out of their bellies a river flows. That river does not only water nations. That river also quenches the thirst of God. When God wants to drink, he seeks the heart of man. This is why we bask in the Spirit. He said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, be filled with the Spirit. Let something flow from your inside. So you will learn. You will learn. You will learn. You want to lift your hands?
You reign. He said, I and the men that sit with me. He said, we are men greatly wondered at. Don't let any man explain your life. When they think you are in the pit, that's when you are about to rise. When they think you are rising, that's when you are about to become like a god. Let no man explain you. Be like the wind. He said, as the wind bloweth, thou listest not from whence it cometh or where it goeth. He says, so are they that are born by the Spirit. But the way you do it is by living from the glory. One day, I was in the place of prayer and worship. And as I knelt down, I was tired. But I knew that I was being summoned. And as I went to pray, the moment I knelt down, the wall opened and light came out. And the light entered me. And everything that happened, happened in less than 20 minutes. I thought so in my mind. When I opened my eyes, it was 6 hours 15 minutes. Meanwhile, what I saw in that light, because that light is a word. That's why I tell people, see, oh, if you have not touched light, you can't be ancient enough to handle the oracles of God. Because God dwells in light. When he brings you into light, he brings you into his ecosystem. That's why nothing man does can pull you down or can affect you. He says, surely they shall gather. It shall not be with me. It's every tongue that rises against you in judgment. He didn't say God will condemn. He said thou. You see, oh, there is something that makes us invincible. He said when the enemy comes, he said as a flood, the Spirit of God shall lift up a standard. That flood is not coming from heaven. It's coming from your belly. Because out of your bellies are rivers. That's why sometimes when you pray and worship, you begin to prophesy. Because there's a word here. It's a flood. I looked into the light and I saw a vision. I saw alien beings like crocodiles standing on elevated platforms. And they were hacking men down. Hacking men down. And suddenly as I appeared there, the wind carried me and took me into the battlefield. And as I was turning, I saw a weapon in my hand. And I started fighting. Fighting. I now saw some advanced men who were fighting there for years before I came. After a while, one of the elders walked to me and said, come. And he told me, lead the people this way. Let them go to safety. That's why, if you like, say whatever you want. I keep honoring fathers. Not because they are perfect. But I know in this army, they are ranks. He said, lead them to safety. And as I was leading them, some gave me dollars. Some gave me pounds. Some gave me naira. Some gave me all kinds of precious things. I said, should I keep it for you? That's why here we don't beg for money. Even if men don't give, ravens will bring money. Because they showed me in the glory that so long as you are telling men truth and taking them to where their soul is secured in God, forget about the world. Kings will come here. You will suck the breast of king. They will drop their treasures at your feet. Not because you are preaching, give, it shall be given unto you. No. You have seen an economy in light. The powers and the mysteries of your destiny, they are locked in the glory. If you don't stay it, you do yourself a great disadvantage. You want to pray in the Holy Ghost for 2 minutes? You want to pray in the Holy Ghost? You want to pray for 2 minutes? God, you're out of time. Oh. Hey,
to practice it. It's bigger than anything man gives you. He said when he led them through the desert, they tested not why he led them. He said he caused the rocks to give water to them. He cleaved the rocks also, and the waters gushed out. All you need can just come to you if you will function in the glory. Because there's a wisdom that can open it up. There's a connection that can open it up. But we are not going to start teaching you about connections. Come to the glory and see the connections meet you there. Did I go to your houses? You found me here. That's how it works. Jesus, they give way for you. You have come into an economy where death does not exist. And whatever you call it, that's what it is. Receive the grace to rule in the midst of your enemies. Receive the grace to soar in the midst of crisis. Receive the grace not just to be outstanding, but to become the standard. In the name of Jesus. Most of you will go home and you will fall into trances and have encounters. You are about to be changed from an ordinary person. The essence of the glory that is locked up on your inside is being activated even tonight. Some of you, while you are yet walking home, angels will escort you. And as you step into August, you step into August as a more than a conqueror indeed. I decree all the fights, battles, and limitations that kept you in this month, they will not cross over. Go as a winner. Go as a victor. A little one shall become a thousand. A strong one shall become a strong nation. In the name of Jesus. Every righteous thing you lay your hands to do, they are commanded now. Begin to multiply. You are a wonder to your world. Tell yourself, I'm a wonder to my world. I'm not an ordinary person. I'm a wonder to my world. And go ahead, tell yourself, every problem I should solve, I begin to solve them now. Give the Lord a shout. In the name of Jesus.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.